This year is the Lundishmas Rav Avraham Yishuv Heschel, Bitter Pitzig Meir Zatzal. I would like to discuss the recent Rebbe Shaila regarding car financing. The Aguda released a statement here in Lakewood, the Bezdin Yesharim, raised awareness to this. Just to point out, a couple years ago there was a Shaila regarding borrowing from credit unions. That was a completely separate Shaila and unrelated to this. It has become increasingly popular that when somebody purchases a used car, a new car, instead of paying up front the entire cost of the car, they finance the car and pay it off over time. Now, there are typically two ways how to finance a car. The simplest way is where the buyer approaches a bank or a third-party lender, and the lender gives the buyer a check to give to the car dealer. Here, the bank is essentially lending the buyer the funds. Buyer uses those funds to purchase the vehicle, and the buyer has to repay the bank with interest. Here, the loan is strictly between the buyer and the bank, and as long as the bank is either not Jewish or has a proper hetziriska, everything is fine. There is a second way. Ally Bank is one of the more popular banks that uses this format. Instead of the bank lending the buyer directly, the seller creates what's known as a retail installment contract, and the seller, upon delivering the car, is extending credit to the buyer, and the seller then sells this contract to the bank, and the buyer will now owe the money to the bank. Practically speaking, it accomplishes the same thing. Many people aren't even aware that it's being done like this, as the bank is the one who's delivering the funds to the seller, the bank is the buyer's creditor. Typically, the sale of the car is contingent on the bank buying the contract, and many times it's already pre-approved by the bank. The terms and the interest rates are all determined by the bank, yet the banks do it this way so they have more recourse in the event there's any misrepresentation or fraud. They could just hand the contract back to the seller and get their money back without having to deal with the buyer. Now, this leads to the following question. Do we say that since the seller is the one who's creating the agreement with the buyer, and the agreement calls for payments over time with interest, even though the seller is then immediately selling the loan to the bank, but since he's the one who created this agreement which calls for ribbis, if it would be a Jewish seller and a Jewish buyer, this would violate ribbis. Or perhaps we say that since the seller is never collecting any interest, he's immediately selling the loan to the not-Jewish bank, all the interest payments are being made from the buyer to the not-Jewish bank, and therefore there will not be a problem at all. There is a Chavos Das in Yerideh Simukuf Samaches, Sifkan Aleph, that discusses a very similar case in where a Jewish lender lent money to a Jewish borrower, where the intention was for the Jewish lender to sell the loan immediately to a not-Jewish buyer, to the extent that they already drafted a contract directly between the borrower and the potential buyer. And the Chavos Das says, if the loan called for interest, it would be Ribbis Ksutza. As even though the Jewish lender is never receiving any interest, the interest is being paid directly from the Jewish borrower to the not-Jewish buyer. But since the ribbis came from the agreement between the original Jewish lender and Jewish borrower, as the Jewish lender is the one who gave the borrower the rights to use the money under these terms, even though the payments are being made after the sale to the not-Jewish buyer and the ribbis is accruing on the debt to the not-Jewish buyer, it would still violate the Issur ribbis. The Avi Nezer argues, and he's of the opinion, that as long as the interest is accruing on a loan which is now between a Jewish borrower and the not-Jewish lender, so to speak, there will not be an Issur ribbis. Seemingly, our scenario should be subject to this machlekes. According to the Chavos Das, we would say that since the seller is the one who is creating the agreement with the buyer, and the buyer is obligating himself initially to the seller to repay the loan over time with interest, this would be enough to violate ribbis. But according to the Avi Nezer, since interest is being paid from the buyer to the not-Jewish bank, there would not be any Issur. Some Rabbanim held that Echatchila could be this would be Issur, according to everybody, as one of the Issurim of Ribbis is Leisesimin Olav Neshach, which is an Issur for creating an agreement to pay interest, and therefore they held that even the Avi Nezer would agree that since initially the agreement is between the Jewish seller and the Jewish buyer, it would violate Leisesimin Olav Neshach. Others argued that since this contract never called for interest between the Jewish buyer and the Jewish seller, as if the bank would back out and not buy the contract, the whole sale of the car would be off. Car dealer is not in the lending business. He's in the car selling business. If he wouldn't get the funds from the bank, he would take the car back. And therefore, this agreement never calls for interest between the buyer and the seller, only for interest between the buyer and the bank after the loan is sold. So if you hold that the interest payments to the bank would not violate ribbis, then we can never consider that the seller created an agreement that violates ribbis. But again, according to the Chavos Das, seemingly, our scenario would violate ribbis. Whether or not this is a question of ribbis deraisa, Generally, ribbis and sails is only a question of ribbis darbanah. There's a Mishnah about Metziah that's Amachem and Alf that says it's usher for a seller to charge a higher price in exchange for allowing the buyer to pay on credit. For example, it would be forbidden to stipulate that if the buyer pays for the car up front, the price would be $10,000. But if he would pay over time, it would be $12,000. As we would attribute the additional funds as a charge for extending credit. Yet it would only be a question of ribbis darbanan, because only interest on a loan would violate ribbis min hatayr. Since the debt is coming through a sale, typically it would only be a problem of ribbis darbanan. However, there's another Mishnah and the halacha in Bechari Yardeik Simakufa and Dalad, who's discussing a similar case of ribbis and sales, and he quotes a Rambam that says it's ribbis deraisa. And the Gedolei Tshuva, the Chalkas Yaakov, they explain that this rule that ribbis and sales only violates ribbis darbanan is only where we can still consider the higher price as the purchase price for the item. However, where it's structured clearly that the buyer would be paying interest on the outstanding debt, for example, if it accrues over time, then it's clearly an interest charge and it would violate ribbis deraisa. Other Rishonim argue, and they hold that since at the end of the day the debt came through a sale, it still would only be a question of ribbis darbanan. And therefore, in our case, where the purchase price is very clear, that doesn't change. The buyer is paying interest, which is a percentage of the outstanding debt, for the duration of the debt. And therefore, according to the Gedolei Tshuva, the Rambam, it should be a question of ribbis deraisa, while according to the other Rishonim, it would only be a question of ribbis darbanan. There was an article in the Ami from a Dayan Likud Rabbi Kushner who spoke to Rav Shai Miller Shlita, who said that our scenario would be indeed a Safik, Ribbis Darbanan, Ribbis Darais. There's one other factor. There's a concept known as Zakfat and Love Vimilva, which means that there are ways for other debt to be converted into a typical loan, and which, according to many Paiskim, would then violate Ribbis Daraisa. Whether or not that applies here is questionable, but again, just another reason why there is a Shail of Ribbis Daraisa in our scenario. The Rabbanan gave a simple solution, that the seller should write a shtar, which would speak out that instead of having the seller extend the credit initially to the buyer, we write that the seller is only acting as an agent for the buyer to obtain the financing from the non-Jewish bank. And even though legally it's structured that the seller is the one who's extending the credit, but since on a practical level it doesn't make a difference to the bank, certain modifications put in place which would accomplish the same thing. In Chayshe Mishpah, we would consider that the seller is merely acting as an agent of the buyer, and therefore the loan is directly between the Jewish buyer and the non-Jewish bank. That would eliminate entirely any question of ribbis. With regard to people who have outstanding loans, many rabbanim felt that although chatchila one should definitely be machmer, but b'diavad, if someone already has an outstanding loan, there's enough to be semichan. Again, according to Avni Nezer, it seemingly would not be a question. Even the Chavis Das, there are other interpretations of the Chavis Das which would not apply here, and therefore if someone has an outstanding loan, there is enough to be samecha. However, it is always best to ask your own personal shayla to see what you should do. One final point. Some rabbanim encourage car dealers to be meichel all the outstanding loans. Now, just to clarify, the seller doesn't own the loans anymore. He never received an interest. So what exactly is he being meichel? So there's a halacha that when a lender sells debt to another party, the lender still has the ability to be meichel the loan. This is because the whole concept of selling debt is unclear what the proper ma'isakinin is, if at all it's possible to sell debt. And therefore, the lender still retains enough ownership of the loan that he has the ability to be meichel. And therefore, they instruct the car dealers to be meichel all the outstanding loans. And at least in Chayshe Mishpah, the loans would be forgiven, which would also eliminate this ribbis. This halacha is brought down in Chayshe Mishpah, Sim Samach Vav, comes from Gemara and Ksubis and other places. Now, it is debatable whether this applies in our case, but it is at least another factor to be semichel. Just to summarize, the shaila is, since in a retail installment contract, the seller is the one who is initially extending the credit to the buyer, and only afterwards selling the loan to the bank, this would seemingly be subject to Machlekes Chavis Das and Avi Nezer, in which the Chavis Das of the opinion that if a Jewish lender creates an agreement with a Jewish borrower, and then sells the loan to a non-Jew, since the ribbis is coming from the initial agreement between a Jewish lender and Jewish borrower, it would violate ribbis, and therefore chatchila, one should not use a retail installment contract, as is. Instead, the seller should write a shtar that stipulates that the seller is merely acting as an agent for the buyer to obtain financing from the bank, and therefore the loan will always be directly between the not-Jewish bank and the Jewish buyer. If someone has an outstanding loan, b'diavad there's what to be semichan, as the Avi Nezer argues in the Chavis Das, in addition to the fact the sellers are now being meichel the debt, and therefore it's possible in Chayshe Mishpah the debt no longer exists, which would eliminate this ribbis.